The other week, I celebrated my wedding anniversary. Margaret, my wife, and I have been married 46 years, and for that, my wife deserves some sort of award, probably a George Cross or an MBE or something of that nature, for having put up with me for that long. But if you spoke to my wife, she would say that, you know, I never really asked her to marry me. There was not a magic moment when the question was popped. There was no getting down on one knee or anything ridiculous like that. Margaret will tell you that I just assumed that after 2.5 years of going out together and romantic suppers in what was then called the Chalet d'Or Cafe in Fountain Street in Belfast, maybe some of my generation will remember that, that marriage was just inevitable. I mean, how could she not have said yes, even if I hadn't made a formal proposal? So on the 23rd of July, 1968, in Woodfield Presbyterian Church in Belfast, we made the momentous decision to commit ourselves to one another in the bonds of marriage and to spend the rest of our lives together. In the course of life, we all have, from time to time, to make momentous decisions, and marriage, while it might be one of the biggest ones, is not the only one. Some of the decisions we make may affect the rest of our lives. Decisions about career, where we're going to live, maybe the job we do, going into business, emigrating to another country, and so on and so on. And some decisions that we make may be of little consequence, but others will be of life-changing proportions. Now, Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, which you find in Matthew chapter 5-7, was laying out a kind of manifesto for the Christian faith. And he outlined and contrasted the values that the non-Christian world thinks are important and the values that God thinks are important. The world values things like power and might, but God looks for gentleness and mercy. The world looks up to those who are self-made and self-sufficient, but God values the humble and the poor in spirit. The world judges by what it sees in people, but God looks into a person's heart. In the world, people strive to please the crowd, but God wants his people to please him alone and not to worry about who sees or admires them. In the world, people are prepared to put up with sectarianism and aggression, with unfaithfulness in marriage, with carnality, and in the world, judgment is often without mercy. In the world, people strive for material possessions, earthly treasures, but Jesus said that far more important is to be right in a right relationship with God. The world adopts the attitude, do to others before they do it to you, whereas God's value is, do to others what you would have them do to you. Now, this you will find in that great sermon that Jesus preached in Matthew chapter 5-7. Go home and read it. It's a great read. And as you look around the world today, we see even more sharply the contrast between the way of the world and the way of God. So having made it clear what is important to God, Jesus asks all those who heard him speak to make a decision, a momentous decision that would fundamentally change their lives. Were they going to remain living, thinking, and behaving by the standards of the world around them, or would they choose to live in God's way? Were they going to let the values of the world mould and shape them, or would they allow God to do that? And then Jesus makes it a bit more personal. Jesus says, are you going to follow me? Are you going to be my disciple? Are you going to go in some other direction? Are you going to call yourself a Christ follower? Or are you going to call yourself something else? These were the only two alternatives that Jesus gave. There was no third way, no neutral ground. What was their verdict going to be? Were they going to decide for him and the way of life that he had just outlined in his sermon? Or were they going to reject him and to reject his teaching? And to help them make that decision, Jesus used an illustration that they would have been familiar with. And here's what Jesus said. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. So what does Jesus mean by this illustration? Well, let's just try and think through this little illustration together. First of all, Jesus is saying here that there are different ways to live. You have to choose which way you want to live. It's about two different ways of living your life. There's the Broadway lifestyle and there's the narrow way lifestyle. Think about that Broadway. The word that Jesus used for broad meant spacious and roomy. So the Broadway has no boundaries. You can do what you like in the Broadway. It's a life with no moral restraints, no ethical barriers. You really don't have to give up anything. Tolerance, permissiveness are the order of the day. It's okay to get angry if you want to be self-centered. It's not a problem just to go on hitting your enemies. You don't have to forgive. You can live with your grudges. You can harbor your resentments. You can even get revenge if you want. There's no restriction on carnality. No limits on making money. You can be censorious. You can gossip. You can criticize others until your heart is content. That is the Broadway. That's what it's like. It's how it was like in Jesus' day. It's how it's like today. And if you don't believe that, look around you. It's graphically displayed on every film you see, every television screen. It is the substance of every news item, every current affairs program. And the sad thing is that on the Broadway, people get hurt. People hurt themselves by their self-indulgent lifestyles. People hurt themselves by abusing their bodies, by crippling their minds with bitterness, by spoiling their lives through nastiness and aggression. But on this Broadway, other people get hurt. Where there are no moral boundaries, other people get hurt. Marriages break up with all the pain and bitterness that brings. Children get abused and scarred for life, and you hear that pain in their voice many years later. Families are divided. Communities are divided. People suffer loss because there are greedy or malicious or violent people around them. On the Broadway, with no boundaries, might is right. And the strong rise to the top and the weaker push to the margins. Contrast that with the narrow way that Jesus spoke about in his sermon. And the word narrow means restricted, it means confined, it means compressed. So this is a well-defined road with moral boundaries and with ethical restraints. And on this road, humility takes precedent over pride. It's a road where the challenge is not to become angry without a good cause. You try to turn away from your carnal thinking. It's a way of life where you practice honesty, where you offer forgiveness, where you watch what you say, where you don't retaliate for the hurt you have suffered at the hands of others. It's a life where people are valued and treated with respect, where rather than cause hurt and pain to people, you endeavor to help them. It's a life where we communicate with God in prayer and put him at the center of all that we do rather than just putting ourselves at the center of our lives. And Jesus didn't want anybody to be under any false impression. While it's easy to walk the broad road, it's hard to walk the narrow road. And when it's easy to go with the crowd, it's much more difficult to be different and stand out from the crowd. And that is a decision that Jesus wants us to make. Will it be life without boundaries that we want to live? Or will it be the way that Jesus has outlined in his great Sermon on the Mount? Will it be him? Or will it be in his way? Or will it be some other person in some other way? Let's be clear about one thing here. The narrow way is not the narrow-minded way. We all know what narrow-minded people are like. They're censorious, they're legalistic, they're rule-keeping, they're judgmental, they're negative. They look down their spiritual noses, they're irreligious, they frown at those who express a different kind of opinion. But to walk the narrow way, on the other hand, is an adventure in obeying God's word. It's an adventure in trying to work out what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in this world in which we live, in this 21st century, in every situation. It's a challenge to live for God, not to live just for self. A second thing that we learn about this illustration of Jesus is that the broad way and the narrow way lead to different destinations. They lead to different destinations. Now, the bottom line is this, that the broad way leads to destruction. The broad way looks easy and harmless, but it's the way to ruin. It is not God's way, and we can never be at peace with God when we choose to walk down the broad way. Jesus didn't define here what he meant by destruction, but it's a terrible word that's used. It conveys the idea of everything good being destroyed, of love and loveliness, of beauty and truth, of joy and peace and hope. Life itself will be destroyed. The broad road, the broad way, is the way of suicide. It takes us far away from God. A life without restraints is destructive to the body, the mind, and the soul. And that, as I've just said, it's a road filled with hurt and pain, where people are divided and dehumanized. And the sad thing is that some people who are on the broad way, try to mimic the narrow road. They acknowledge that God is there. They are religious to a point. They are maybe benevolent. They are humanitarian. All the things you expect of people on the narrow road. But basically their heart and their soul is not right with God. And Jesus pointed out this danger. And we read these words a moment ago. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say on that day, 'Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" It's easy to mimic the way of the broad road and be sadly disillusioned and mistaken. Maybe you watched the Commonwealth Games here last week. I know I did some of it anyway. And we're looking forward to the European Athletic Championships taking place in this incoming week. But my mind went back to the year 2001, when the World Athletic Championships were taking place in Edmonton in Canada. I remember watching this on television. There was an athlete by the name of Trevor Misipika competing for American Samoa, and he ran in the 100-meter sprint. Trevor weighed in at 22 stone and was in peak condition, but not for the 100-meter dash. He was expecting to compete in the shot put, but didn't qualify. So he switched to the one event for which qualification was not required, the 100 meters. And wearing a loose-fitting T-shirt and trainers, he thundered down the track and came last, some 4 seconds and 35 meters behind the winner of the race. It was, he declared, a personal best, not least because he'd never run that far in his life before. He did his best. He mimicked the sprinters, but he wasn't a sprinter himself, and he failed. And friends, just to mimic the narrow road is not to be on it. If we're not on the narrow way, but continue on the broad road, the end is destruction. In the end, we will be lost to God, not members of his kingdom, closed out from his heaven. And Jesus taught that there would be a day of reckoning, a day of judgment, when men and women would reap the consequences of deciding for the broad road rather than the narrow one, for having made a decision for the unlimited boundaries of the world rather than the narrow way of Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, "The wages of sin is death." The outcome of choosing that broad road is spiritual and eternal death. And Jesus declared that some would hear the dreadful words, "Away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you." Now contrast that with the narrow way. The destination of the narrow way is life. And the word that Jesus uses for life can mean physical life, but also is used to mean supernatural life belonging to God. And it was used to describe a quality of life which can start now and can be enjoyed now and will come to completion in eternity. And on the narrow way, we experience God in a personal way. It's where we begin to call him Abba, Father, that very personal word. And on the narrow way, we encounter and discover the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside us on the journey of life to encourage us and help us. And on the narrow way, the Spirit of God begins to remake us and shape and mold us to be more like Jesus. And on the narrow way, the Spirit of God helps us to live by new values and to understand the moral boundaries that are dangerous to cross. And as we walk the narrow way, we grow in confidence that this journey leads to heaven, our eternal home, where we will see God face to face and enjoy his new heaven and his new earth for all time. And Jesus asked us to choose this way of life in all its fullness. And Jesus said that he was the very life of God, and that embracing him as Savior and Lord, we can enter into that life and enjoy God every moment of every day. This parable of Jesus, this story of Jesus, this illustration of Jesus tells us who's on these two roads. The broad road is a busy one. There are lots and lots of people travelling the broad road, even though it leads to ruin. And in comparison, there are few who walk down the narrow road. A large crowd on the broad road can give people a false sense of security. Sure, everybody's going this way, so it must be okay. Everybody's walking down this route, it must be the right route to follow. The fact is that truth is always truth, even if few people embrace it. And wrong is always wrong, no matter how many millions of people embrace it. I'm sure you've watched that program on television, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And sometimes the contestants have to ask the audience to decide which of the four answers is the right one. And on occasions, the audience has overwhelmingly voted for the wrong answer. And it's so easy to go with the majority opinion, to follow the crowd. None of us likes to be different. We bow to peer pressure. We follow the party line. We are social animals, and we like to conform to popular opinion. Maybe that is why so many people walk down that broad road. And Jesus contrasts the many on the broad road with the few on the narrow road. And the narrow road can be a lonely road at times. When we decide for Jesus and walk in his way, we may be the only person in the family, the only person in the workplace, the only person in the sports team who does so. And when we try to stand up for the truth and what is right, we may be a lone voice, often ridiculed, perhaps viewed as disruptive, a bit of an oddball, if you like. And the narrow road, for some who walk it, is a dangerous road. And we were thinking about Iraq this morning, and the Christians in Karakosh and Mosul fleeing their homes, some being martyred because they love Jesus as their Savior. The narrow road at times can be a dangerous road. And so the challenge to decide for Jesus and his way is a considerable challenge. But you know, if we're convinced that Jesus is the way to God, and that he spoke the truth about God, and that our future now and eternity lies with God, then we need faith and courage to commit ourselves to him with all our hearts and walk with him in his way. There was a man called Charles Finney, who was a great 19th century preacher, who in the 1830s held a series of meetings in Rochester in New York. And a great many lawyers came to hear Finney preach, and at one of the meetings, the Chief Justice of the Court of Appeals for the State of New York sat at the back of the gallery to draw his own conclusions about Finney's message and the gospel he preached. And as he listened to Finney preaching, he became convinced and convicted that what he spoke was the truth. And then in his mind, a question came to him. Will I go forward like the other ordinary men and women? Something in him said that it would never do because of his prestigious position at the top of the legal hierarchy of New York. And he sat there thinking for a while, and then he came to a conclusion. Why not go forward, he said to himself. I'm convinced of the truth that's being spoken here today, and I know my duty. Why should I not do it like any other person? And so he got up from the gallery, he went down the stairways and came up the stairs behind the stage where Finney was preaching. And Finney was in the middle of his sermon, and he sensed somebody at his elbow, and he turned round and he saw the Chief Justice. Mr. Finney, said the Chief Justice, if you call people to come forward, I will come as well. And Finney stopped preaching and he said, the Chief Justice says that if I call people to come forward, he will come as well. I ask you now to decide for Christ and to come forward. And the Chief Justice went forward, and it's recorded that nearly every other lawyer in Rochester was converted as well. And it's said that up to 10,000 people were converted in 12 months through the preaching of Charles Finney in that area. And friends, the point is this: if the Spirit of God convicts us, convicts you, and we are sure of the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to act on what we believe and commit our lives to him. And who knows, if you have the courage and the faith to commit yourself to Jesus and his way, then who knows, others may follow. A husband, a wife, a child, a friend, a neighbour. If we step off the broad road onto the narrow one, then that might just be the encouragement others need to follow as well. And just one last thing about this illustration of Jesus. And that is how to get on to either one of these roads. Jesus says there are two entrances, two gates by which you can enter. The broad gate is not hard to find and enter. It's not hard to get through because it's a wide gate. There are many ways in. You can believe what you like or believe nothing. You can be an atheist or an agnostic. The wide gate is big enough to accommodate everybody. You can be a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a member of Warringstown Church, a member of Ballyhenry Church. The wide gate has enough room to let everybody through. And the truth is that the broad gate is wide enough to admit anybody who chooses to go down that highway. On the other hand, the way onto the narrow road is through a narrow gate. And it's the only way in, and it admits only one person at a time. And in order to enter, we have to leave everything behind. Our sin, our selfish ambition, greed, even family if need be. No one can follow Christ who has not first denied himself. And the narrow gate is the entrance to life in all its fullness. And that gate is Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Jesus said, "I am the gate." The word is singular, not many gates, only one gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And the Apostle Paul said, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You know, in this pluralist, multi-faith, believe what you like society in which we live, it's not popular, not even politically correct, to suggest that Jesus is the only way to God. But this is what Jesus himself says. This is what the Bible says. And if we decide to make for Jesus, then we have to reach a verdict about which gate we're going to enter. You know, sometimes in a court, a jury who has sat through a trial and heard all the evidence will be asked by the judge, "Have you reached a verdict on which you are all agreed?" And sometimes the jury will have to answer that they were not agreed and could not decide. And listen, that option is not open to us when it comes to making a decision for Jesus. We are all on one or other of the two roads. There's no middle way, no third gate, no alternative route, no diversions, no sidetracking. If we're on the broad road, we need to do nothing in order to stay on it. But if you want to get off it, then you need to find the narrow gate and go through it. You need to come to Jesus and commit yourself to him in repentance for sin and forgiveness and ask for the gift of new life. And Jesus died on the cross for our salvation. He opened up the kingdom of heaven to all who put their faith in him. He is the narrow gate through which we have to enter to find life in all its fullness. And what strikes you about these words of Jesus is the absolute nature of the choice before us. No doubt we'd all prefer to be given many more choices that only one, or better still, fuse them all together in a kind of pick-and-mix religion, so there'd be no need for any kind of choice. But Jesus doesn't give us that luxury. He will not allow us the comfortable solutions that we would like. Instead, he insists that ultimately there are only two possibilities to choose from: the broad road or the narrow way. The broad gate or the narrow gate. His way or the way of the world. Him as Saviour and Lord of your life, or God of your own making. Life or destruction. Friends, in every generation and age, men and women have been asked to make that choice. And who knows, maybe today in Ballyhenry Church, you're at that crossroads in your life. Which road do you want to be on? Which way are you following? Where is your life going? Who is your guide? What will your end be? And if you haven't decided already to follow Jesus and walk down that narrow road, to go through that narrow gate, then may Jesus convict you and convince you that he is the way and the only way to follow. And if you're not sure how to get through that narrow gate onto that narrow way, then ask somebody here this morning and they'll be glad to help you. Let's pray.